Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Fireball Hot Take Friday, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. The snow looks like it's starting to melt a little bit, so everybody can go ahead and pack in their snow goggles for the weekend. I'm not sure that you'll need them out here in Nashville, Tennessee. Could be wrong, though. Maybe for some people. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe. So Mike Vrabel today was asked about Derrick Henry. We talked to TD yesterday, and remember that TD came on our show when we asked him about all the injuries during the season, and TD was like, yeah, Bud Dupree will be back for Pittsburgh, AJ will be back for San Francisco. Derrick came on the show yesterday, said Derrick will not play, that he will not play on that field turf. He will be back for the start of the playoffs. Vrabel today was asked about Derrick Henry. Here's what Mike Vrabel said.
Hey, Mike, did Derrick show you enough in practice this week for you to feel comfortable activating him if needed?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have some time to make that decision. We'll evaluate where we're at. But, you know, I mean, I think that he looked good. We continue to track his speed and mileage and volume and see how he responds. So, you know, 2 days on the turf, you know, we'll see where he's at tomorrow and see how he responds. But, you know, I feel good about where he's at.
So Vrabel not very committed there, especially very non-committal on if Henry will play. What does your gut tell you after hearing that?
I think that I've kind of made my mind up after hearing TD yesterday that he's not going to play.
Yeah, I'd agree.
What?
I said I agree. I agree.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, thinking about the turf, which was a point that I thought of but didn't really think of too in-depth, but thinking about Houston being a turf field, and if the Titans do get the one seed, beat the Texans tomorrow, they'll be back on natural grass at Nissan Stadium. I really do think that plays a huge role in all of this.
I don't think he's going to play. I think TD's right. I think the other thing, too, is I do think, and Vrabel will never admit this, and he shouldn't think like this, but I think that Deontay Foreman's probably shown him enough that he's like, I feel comfortable with Foreman in this game. Not saying that he thinks he can get by with Foreman. I'm just saying I think he probably feels that way. So we'll look into that as we continue to hear along. Again, TD said it so matter-of-factly that I have a hard time believing that Derrick Henry is going to play on Sunday. Now, apparently because Adam Vingan wrote a declaration on Thanksgiving that they should trade Philip Forsberg, and then 5 weeks later, you know, reverse course, apparently now I'm not allowed to change my opinions at all, or, oh my God, you're just the worst, which I think there's a big difference between, like, a declaration of somebody's job status and just a, you know, I'm not sure this guy's great, or I think this guy's better than that guy and than that guy, whatever. But Corey Curtis had me on News 2 2 weeks ago after the 49er game, and he said on that program, he said that he thinks that A.J. Brown is more important to the Titans than Derrick Henry. He then said the same thing when he came on the show a couple of weeks ago, that he thinks A.J. Brown is more important to the Titans than Derrick Henry. And I thought that was crazy. And I told him, both on the news, I'm like, Corey, that's nuts. And then I saw how Ryan Tannehill played last week against the Dolphins. A.J. only had 2 catches. It wasn't like A.J. had 11, A.J. had 3 touchdowns, A.J. had one of those games that you could take to the bank, like when they played the Texans the last couple of years, and they had all those close overtime down-to-the-wire games, and A.J. and Derrick really won them the 2 Texan games last year. But I just watched Tannehill last week against Miami, and I just thought he was so much more comfortable. You know, you got him play action, rolling out, throwing to a wide-open Anthony Firkser. That is a Miami Dolphins team that is a defense-first team with a defensive head coach and not a bad defense. I mean, they're 8-8 because they've got a good enough defense to beat the bad teams. And I'm like, maybe A.J. is the difference. Deontay Foreman ran for 130 yards. If we're talking about who's more important, the drop-off from Derrick, who I think is when he got hurt, I thought Derrick Henry was the best player in the league. The drop-off from Derrick to Foreman is not as bad as the drop-off from AJ to everybody else, because all those wide receivers and all those tight ends stink. So I'm not saying I'm 100% ready to change my mind and say that AJ is more important than Derrick, but when I said on News 2 to Corey that I thought it was absurd that he would bring that up, I'm starting to look at it like maybe there's something to it. And here's the other thing. The games, the three games that were completely inexcusable for the Titans to lose: the Jets, the Texans, the Steelers. Who didn't play in those three games?
AJ.
AJ Brown. He got hurt at the beginning of the Texans game, but he didn't play. So Derrick ran for 150, and you beat the Jets. Foreman ran all over the Steelers. Excuse me, Derrick ran for 150, you lost to the Jets. Foreman ran all over the Steelers, you lost to them. Tannehill was awful in those two games. Awful. And you lost. Maybe there's something to it. Who do you think is more important to the Titans, A.J. Brown or Derrick Henry?
I mean, I just find it very hard for me to be able to tout Derrick being an MVP candidate and then turn around and say, but A.J. Brown is more important to this team. How can you be the most valuable player in the league when you're not even the most valuable player on your team? I understand your point in that Ryan Tannehill needs a wide receiver there. He needs to have that chemistry, and he needs to have that trust in those wide receivers, because we see how he plays when he doesn't have A.J. Brown. And A.J. Brown is that guy for him. He's the guy that he can trust. He's the guy that he knows he can lob it up, and A.J. Brown will hopefully be there and likely will. I just can't say that I would, you know, I would vote for Derrick Henry if I had an MVP vote earlier in the season and then turn around and say that the Titans don't need him more than they need A.J. Brown.
It's tough for me. It's tough. I think you can make a case on both sides. The one thing I will say, and I think we can all agree, the Titans aren't going to win any games in the playoffs without A.J. Brown. Could they get by without Derrick Henry in one playoff game? Like, if you told me that they got the Raiders at home without Derrick Henry, I think they could win. If they got the Colts at home, I think it'd be hard, but I think they could win. I don't know if they could win a playoff game. I mean, we looked at the game where they played the Steelers, and I remember thinking, because this Steeler team was so bad, and I was like, God, just beat this Steelers team because they're so bad. And then it was like, you know, AJ's coming back. But at the same time, they didn't have Derrick for that game either. So maybe if you're playing the Raiders without AJ, but you have Derrick, maybe that's the difference, that you can run all over him with Derrick. I'm open to, I guess what I'm saying is, 2 weeks ago, I said, no way could I consider AJ Brown more important than Derrick Henry. And now I'm like, I consider it.
I will also say, and this is no disrespect to AJ Brown whatsoever, because he's an incredibly talented player and an incredibly important part of this team, but how many other wide receivers in the league can do what AJ Brown does?
Probably like 12.
How many other running backs in the league can do what Derrick Henry does?
Maybe one.
Maybe Jonathan Taylor.
Maybe one. I would agree. Corey Curtis, he will join us next. We'll ask him this, and we'll get his thoughts on the Texan game. Because, again, everybody thinks the Titans are going to win, and everybody should think that the Titans are going to win, and the Titans should win the Texan game. And yet, am I the only person with a little uneasy feeling when it comes to Sunday? We'll get to Corey Curtis, News 2. He'll join us next. Right here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, it's Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. We've got great deals from the Woodhouse Spa. You can save 75% off at the Nashville Armory, Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, Seafood Sensation, and get $50 free with the purchase of $100 in downtown dollars. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us on the program, as he always does, presented by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best. And Franklin, by the way. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. Invigorate Health WTN.com for more info. Corey, I said today, I find this Texan game not interesting whatsoever to talk about, to break down the Texans. I can't do it. But if they lose, I feel like everything they've worked for this season just goes right down the drain. And it's hard for me to overlook the Texans, considering they already lost to the Texans. How confident are you that the Titans can take care of business?
Well, it's a big question, because they've proven in the past that these games have been a bugaboo. Now, having said that, I like the way they've talked about this game. I like that immediately after the last game, they already started pointing to this one and the importance of this game. And I think that's important here, is it's not just in week 9 against the Texans. This is a game this is basically a playoff game. You win and you advance to round 2. It's that simple. And you get home field throughout. They understand that. I think they're also embarrassed they lost to this team before. So I am confident. I think the Titans are going to win this game by 4 touchdowns. Okay. I know I could be dead wrong, but that is where my belief is in this game, is they are going to smash Houston, who does not have a lot to play for. And I feel like if the Titans can get up a couple of touchdowns on them, they will simply go away.
So I think the Titans will win comfortably. 4 touchdowns might be a little bit too much for me. I will say this, though, and I've said some crazy things in my life. I also would think that, like, I'm kind of a pessimistic sports fan most of the time. I think if the Titans win this game, and I'm not saying they will, and there's a lot of work that'll, like, I think they might go to the Super Bowl if they win this game. If they lose this game, no chance of going to the Super Bowl.
That was my hot take. I think the Titans are going to the Super Bowl. I do. I mean, I've never said that before. I've been in this town since 2003, and I've never said I think the Titans are going to the Super Bowl. I think they're going to the Super Bowl. We've kind of argued about where we feel about this team. I like their makeup. I like their toughness, and I really like their defense. I like that front four can stonewall anybody in the league right now. Christian Fulton's been a game changer for them on the secondary. It's absolutely a huge game from that regard, because you certainly would much rather play Kansas City here than there. And if they lose this game, it's really disappointing, because there's no reason to lose this game other than you weren't prepared. You weren't prepared. I mean, I'm still, you go back to the last one, they had 5 turnovers and 3 turnovers on downs. They had the equivalent of 8 turnovers in that football game. They just were not mentally sharp for that game. And you have to be. And that goes to Mike Vrabel's whole thing of playing to your standard, which I think we saw, we've seen real good evidence of the last few weeks. You know, the way they finished the Miami game, I thought was great. That's playing to that standard. And that's more along the lines of where I'm going with my belief that they're going to go to Los Angeles in February.
I'm not ready to go there yet. Like, they got to win this game. And I know it's like, it's the Texans, Jared, and you're talking about the Super Bowl.
I know what you're saying. I mean, we've seen it before.
We've seen it
this year.
And not only that, like, other than the Patriots game, where I thought that they were prepared to play, and they went out there and I thought gave it their all, but they just screwed that up. Like, they could have been in the game, but they fumbled the ball. The Patriots were a decent team. They went on the road. It's hard to win there. They had their injuries. Fine. The Arizona game, I thought the Titans weren't prepared for
terrible.
How good Arizona was going to be, and they didn't practice because of COVID. So, the other 3 were just excruciatingly painful losses, especially when you look back on it. And if you add a 4th loss to that mix, like, we will forever look at this season, in my opinion, as the season that could have been if they lose on Sunday. Because, like I said, I think, and we kicked it around the room earlier today about what are the percent chances they go to the Super Bowl if they win. And I think Caroline said 40%, Ian said 50%. I think that's probably fair. And I think it's 5% if they lose. Like, I do not think you're going to the Super Bowl if you've got to go on the road to Kansas City, if you have to win 3 games instead of 2. I just think that's going to be too much, especially with the quarterbacks in this conference. I think there's so much riding on this Texan game, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse.
Yeah, I get it. Look, I get it. I expect them to win, though, and I still like them to go anywhere. and beat anyone. And, you know, normally I'm a guy, and this is kind of a different subject, where I kind of fear the bye week. You know, I've seen so many teams come stale off that bye week. But Mike Vrabel's undefeated after a bye week and even undefeated after the mini bye. He is really good, whatever he does, off of that long layout, which is another reason that I'm feeling confident about where they can be. I'm with you. I'm with you in your trepidation about this game, but to me, losing isn't even a consideration.
Corey Curtis, News 2, is our guest here on the program. Neutral, or not neutral field, Nissan Stadium, at home, AFC Championship game, everybody's available. What's the line against Kansas City?
Well, Kansas City's still going to be favored because they've got Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. So I'll say Kansas City by 3.
I think it's a pick 'em.
You think it's a pick 'em?
And the reason I asked you this question is because I felt like you brought it up there to me when you said, you know, Vrabel, because I totally forgot about it. Vrabel's 8-0 off the bye and mini bye. So he's going to get the bye, and you're going to have a good team probably that comes in here for that divisional round. It could be Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. It could be the Patriots. It could be the Colts. It could be you're going to have a decent team that's going to come in here. But let's, again, factor in that Vrabel is undefeated off of the mini bye. So now you're really talking about an AFC title game at home away from the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I hear this, and I'm like, man, that could be, you know, what would I, in my heart, if they played the Chiefs, what kind of odds would I get? 50-50 at home against the Chiefs. Going to Arrowhead, I would say 80% Chiefs, 20% Titans. And that's why I look at this game, and I can't talk about the Texans because I find nothing interesting about them. But we've already seen them lose to the Texans once, and that, there's just so much at stake in this football game for the Titans, and that's what worries me.
You heard Taylor Lewan say it immediately after the game. I mean, he's in the middle of his post-game interview, and he just said, hey, Bengals won, right? And the guys go, yeah. And he says, we got a game to win next week. I mean, they know. They know what's at stake. They know. I mean, Kevin Byard talked about, you know, having it handed to him. And I know talk is one thing, but I think they're focused. I think they understand. And I think I see something in this team that I haven't seen before for an opponent like this. I see a conviction of going in there and taking care of it. I also think they're a team that understands where they're at. They understand they're where we're talking about. That, you know, I had somebody at the YMCA talk to me the other day about Derrick Henry and say, should he play? And I said, it's all about the Super Bowl. Whatever it takes to get him ready, you know, to get the Titans to the Super Bowl. He's like, well, I'd shut him down for the year. I wouldn't risk it. And I was like, there's no way they're going to shut him down this year. Their window is now. We're talking about this team has been here since 1998, 99. They've never won it, okay? This opportunity, you know how hard this opportunity is to have. They've been the number one seed twice before, and they haven't even gotten to the AFC Championship game. So you've got to go out guns blazing.
So I gave you a little credit earlier. I'm not totally there yet, but I'm starting to change my mind on the importance of A.J. Brown over Derrick Henry. And the only reason I say this is because the three inexcusable losses this season, the Jets, Texans, and Steelers, A.J. didn't play. Derrick Henry had 150 yards and carried the team in the Jets game, and they still lost. Mm-hmm. And I think about this, and that Dolphins game, Titans defense played well against San Francisco. They played well against the Dolphins. The offense played so much better. It was their most complete game of the year. Tannehill looked so much better, and A.J. only had 2 catches. It's like just A.J. being there means so much for Tannehill in the offense.
Well, look, I think there's a confidence that goes with him being there. You know, he only had 2 catches. Those are 2 big plays. They were chunk plays on scoring drives that helped move the football. And they didn't throw – I mean, they only threw it 18 times because they only had to throw it 18 times. The other thing, Jared, is this. It's the drop-off, okay? The drop-off from A.J. to the next 3 guys is way more considerable than it is from Henry to Foreman. Foreman has rushed for 100 yards 3 times. They've rushed for 200 yards basically 3 times since Henry's been out. They can run the ball without Derrick Henry. They can't throw it without A.J. If they had 3 good – look, if you're talking about Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd, yeah, and you say, well, Ja'Marr Chase is out as compared to, you know, Derrick Henry, you know, you can absorb that loss. You got other dudes. They don't have other dudes at that spot. He's the dude. There's nobody else on that team, if he's healthy, Julio Jones, who can go for 100 yards right now catching the football. That's just the way it is. And if they do go for 100 yards, it's because A.J.'s on the field. We've seen how things have opened up for Firkser with A.J. on the field. It's made a difference. It's that drop-off. Of course Derrick Henry is a game-changer for the Titans. He's one of the top five players in the league, absolutely without question. He's spectacular. And while I love Foreman because he's big and he's tough and he's got a burst, he doesn't have the breakaway that Derrick has. And by the way, Derrick looked awful good on the practice field. He looks lighter, and he looked really fast.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, Fireball Hot Take Friday. So you already said you gave away your hot take that you think the Titans are going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I am going to ask you this hot take question. Mm-hmm. You've already said you think right now where we sit today, the Titans are going to the Super Bowl. Tampa Bay last year went to the Super Bowl and had the Stanley Cup champion.
Yep.
Do you think it's possible this year that Nashville ends up with a team in the Super Bowl and in the Stanley Cup final? They don't have to win. They just have to get there.
Absolutely. Look, I don't know how good this Preds team is. I do know this. They're mowing down everything in front of them. And the bottom line is this. They have one of the top goalies in the league. UC Saros has been outstanding. And we have every reason to believe he will continue to be outstanding because that's what he has shown us in the past. And Forsberg's on a contract year. Duchesne scores again last night. Ryan Johansson got in a fight last night. What is that? I mean, holy cow. So their best players are finally playing to the level that they need them to play. And so when you get the best out of Duchesne, Johansson, and Forsberg, and then you've got Saros, I think you've got something. Does that mean that, you know, again, just like the Titans, there's no guarantees here anywhere. You have an injury, you have a bad series, it can end in a hurry. But this team is showing they can play with and beat absolutely anyone, even with Tanner Janot out there.
Tanner Janot. Oh, boy. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, Corey, appreciate you.
You're never going to live that one down.
You know what's funny? Like, I was thinking about this the other day, and I want Caroline's thought on this, too. Like, when I went off on David Poyle for protecting Tanner Janot, which is probably the most wrong that I've been about something in, like, the last 2 years. But, like, when I did that, nobody was like, yeah, Jared, that's crazy. This guy's going to be Rookie of the Year.
No, I didn't say that, but I trust David Poyle's judgment.
I don't. That's
well, I know you don't. And I guess that's what it came down to is, you know, they have not developed a lot of good young scorers. I liked Kelly Yarncroke. I did. But I didn't think he was worth the level of animosity that was created there.
I just thought Janot was a guy they never pretended that they cared about until he played 10 games.
He's their very own Kurt Warner.
It would be like, it would kind of be like Foreman. That's who this is like. Deontay Foreman. Yeah. Because, the Titans cut him last year.
Yeah.
How stupid does that look right now?
Well, but, I understand why you say that, but it's like cutting LeGarrette Blount before. You cut him because he was never going to play. Foreman is basically your Derrick Henry. He's never going to play. All right? So you got other guys who can do other things to help you. But I think for now, you got to keep Foreman for sure.
Oh, yeah. Foreman's earned his keep. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Yep. Appreciate you, Corey.
All right. Thanks, Jared. You have a great weekend. And you know I love you.
I love you, too. Corey Curtis, as always, joining us, presented by Invigorate Health here on the program. Speaking of the Predators, coming up next, I got Crispy all riled up yesterday. And now it feels like everybody is all in. I'll explain. Coming up here next on Stillman and Company. Focus. You know, everybody loves Focus. I got my Focus here. I've been drinking the mixed berry the last couple of days. Now I got this one right here is the blood orange. Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S. drinkfocus.com. Naturally caffeinated sparkling water. It's got a spark to it. So instead of, you know, drinking a bunch of coffee all the day, stain your teeth, instead of drinking those energy drinks, which have all that artificial stuff, it's all bad for you. It's bad for your heart. This right here, natural tea caffeine. It is a naturally energizing, brain focusing, taste tantalizing hydrator that combines simple ingredients to create the perfect guilt-free pick-me-up your body will crave. You can find it at Publix. So just right at your local Publix, just find it, Focus, or you can go online, Drink Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com. Enter promo code GAME at checkout. You'll get 15% off your order. Again, they're putting these babies all over the Middle Tennessee area, and they will continue to do so, first at Publix, and then it's going to get even bigger. So get on the Focus train. Give it a try. See if you like it. That's Focus, drinkfocus, P-H-O-C-U-S.com.
Hey, Coach, good evening. 2 for 2 on the trip, and you find a way to get it done. Obviously, Juice was really good, but what do you think of this one overall tonight?
Well, you know, I thought it was a hard-fought game. I mean, I give LA a lot of credit. They played fast. They played tenacious. We knew coming into the game it was going to be a hard-fought battle when you look at a lot of the things that they do statistically and how they play, and they're really well coached. So, you know, we found a way. You know, our special teams were big factors. We got good goaltending. You know, I did like our team. You know, they rose to the challenge competitively, but it was a hard-fought game. And you got to find different ways to win in the league, and tonight we found a way to win. So we'll move on, and we got a big one coming up here against Arizona also.
There you go. That was John Hines, Preds coach. Preds in first place. And this team is playing their butts off. Now, when they hired John Hines 2 years ago, really, I mean, I think it was like 2 years exactly, like 2 years next week ago, when they hired John Hines, it was because, and I had been the number one accuser of the Predators being fat and happy, that they had signed all these guys to long-term contracts, and they weren't putting out the effort on a nightly basis. And I was the only person in town who was willing to criticize like that, the only person in town who was asking David if that was a problem. And everybody kind of tried to sugarcoat it. You know, well, you know, they just need the good players playing better, but they need the... And all of a sudden, next thing you know, it comes down to, hey, if you guys don't start playing better, all y'all are going to be shipped out of town. And then last year, they started playing a lot harder and a lot better. They get rid of Arvidsson, which was a good move. They get rid of Ellis, which was a good move. Now, what they got in return was not for Ellis, but at least they got rid of Ellis, which I had been begging for forever and had been told all the time, you don't understand Ryan Ellis. You don't get the leader Ryan Ellis is. You don't get... I think they're doing okay without Ryan Ellis. But John Hines takes over the team. It was a mess. The one thing that you could say about John Hines is he gets these guys playing hard. They play hard every night. I mean, and we wondered if he would be able to get through to these guys. And he was benching Johansson and Duchesne. And I remember Floyd telling me, hey, you bench a big-time player that makes a lot of money, that's going to work one time. You do it again, that player's out. We had been told during the offseason that there were a lot of players on the team didn't like the coach. And so what John Hines has done this year, you got to give him his due. But I'm going to ask this question, and you all tell me if this is fair. I think John Hines has done a good job half of last season and so far this season in the regular season. Now, I love the Predators. I'm a season ticket holder. But I'm also skeptical about the way they're playing right now and if this is going to work in the playoffs. Because at the end of the day, a wise man once said, just get me to the playoffs, baby. And that's how hockey is really defined. So this team looks like they're having a good regular season. Hines is doing a good job. Saros is playing great. Forsberg's taking advantage of a contract year. Duchesne's got his head out of his ass. I mean, it looks like they might be onto something. But Caroline, remember last year when we started saying, hey, it's kind of a shame that John Hines isn't part of this Jack Adams Award for Coach of the Year, and he's nowhere near the top. And then he got matched up in the first round series against Rod Brind'Amour, and I felt like Brind'Amour took Hines to the cleaners in that series. I was very disappointed with John Hines coaching last year in the playoffs. So while I see what he's doing right now, and I'm like, hey, you got to give John Hines his due, I sit here and think, well, doesn't he have to do this in the playoffs before we get excited? And I knew asking Crispy that yesterday was going to get Crispy all worked up. Here's what Terry Crisp said. And so now I'm kind of looking at Hines. I'm like, I know you can coach in the regular season. What can you do in the playoffs? What do you think?
And you know what? You're right. You did. You made me mad when that was, because I've been a coach and being in that dressing room behind the bench. I'm going to say it just real quickly. Nobody has the right to re-question as much as anybody unless you've been a head coach and stood behind that bench and lived and died with those guys and begged and pleaded them to play one way, begged and pleaded them to do this and do that. And I thought that John Hines, when he came here, was handed a team that wasn't sure what it was supposed to do, where it was going. And I thought he took the right method. He looked things over. He talked it in. And still, I'm going to say something that a lot of people don't say, and I hope nobody thinks it the wrong way. We, being in the broadcast, radio, TV, et cetera, we get a chance to talk with Coach Hines every game, before every game in the morning. And me as a previous coach, I loved it because, you know what, John Hines was so real. We can't tell you what he said, but he was so truthful with us and told us what we could do. And I'm going to tell you right now for a fact, John Hines had his finger on the pulse of this hockey club all the way along. And the pulse of the fact was that he had, and let's be honest, it was the players that didn't produce, not John Hines. Let's don't try and sugarcoat it. When you went through it, I remember you going just crazy on certain players. And John Hines, he had a lot of them. If you recall, he sat out two or three players to get their attention. You know he did that. So he had his finger on it. He knew what he had to do. That had nothing to do with coaching. I'm going to say it again. We keep looking around. I look to the dressing room. I look to the guys that are pulling on that jersey and the heart that they have. And how bad do they want it? And how much do they want to pay a price to get it? That's where I look.
So Crispy went and just said a bunch of things, but you could tell the passion that he had in defending John Hines. Then the other thing, you know that feeling when you're like, you think something in your head and you're like, please give me a sign. And then all of a sudden, everything you look at starts to make you think that's a sign.
Yes.
So ESPN yesterday or today, John Tortorella, these guys on ESPN, including the host who I've never heard of, these guys are just gushing about John Hines. Here's what they said today.
So it's not just the players on the ice that are contributing to the success. Head coach John Hines has been in this post since 2020. He replaced two long-term coaches for this team before him. But in terms of his contribution specifically, what have you noticed?
I just think the team has kind of taken on his personality a little bit. Johnny's a straight-ahead guy. Hard-working guy, just all business, and you know you look at their one-goal games. That's his type of hockey. And they've got balance with Johansson having a good year this year, Duchesne's having a good year, and to me, there's no nonsense. As Philip was just saying, they're all business. They're physical. They're straight ahead. And I think when there's a change in momentum that's going against them, they don't get rattled. They get some resiliency to them, and I think that comes off the way Johnny's going about his business here. Let's just keep on playing. And this is a team that we never talk about. And this has gone on for a long time, how they've played. So Hinesy's a good man. You meet him, he's just at you. And I think that's the way this team is playing.
Yeah, absolutely. He was terrific to me when I worked with the New Jersey Devils when he was coach there.
Hey, host, nobody cares, by the way, that Hines was great to you when you were with the Devils. But it was like I needed to see that. You know, it was like, Jared, I know that you look at John Hines and you're thinking, what are you going to do in the playoffs? But here's Crispy all fired up about Hines. Here's Tortorella, who's a no-nonsense, no bullcrap guy, and he's all about Hines. And yet, maybe I have Pharaoh's heart because I am sitting here thinking like, nah, I need to see something in the playoffs. Like, I need to see something in the playoffs from John Hines. We've seen Vrabel in the playoffs. I need to see something in the playoffs from John Hines before I can get on the John Hines gravy train. Is that fair or unfair?
Well, and I will ask you this question. Do you think last season in the playoffs, was the Predators' first round exit, was that more on John Hines' plate? Or are you going to look at it like this club couldn't win games in the first half of the season and they were just simply outmatched against the Carolina Hurricanes?
I think Hines stunk in that series.
I mean, John Hines mismanaged the roster in a couple games in the Carolina series. I will 100% give you that. But
and Brenda Moore, I thought Brenda Moore, I thought the turning point in the series was game five, as is most when it's tied 2-2. And Brenda Moore cried and cried and cried about the officiating. And the Predators had a questionable penalty that cost them game five. And Hines would not go there with the officiating. And I thought that was a missed opportunity. And I thought that was an example of Brenda Moore kind of using every trick in the bag in order to just get the slightest advantage, because that was a neck and neck series. Overtime in game three, overtime in game five, overtime in game six. I mean, that is a just neck and neck series. And I thought Brenda Moore won them that series. And Hines, I mean, we really criticized Hines in that series. And I stand by that criticism. And I feel like we are a, hey, what you do in the regular season is all fine and dandy, but we need to see some playoff success. Like, that's how we in Nashville, Tennessee, assess the hockey team. Is not, hey, well, you gave us a good season and we had fun going to the games, but, you know, it was a tough run there in the playoffs, getting knocked out in the first round. If you win the Central Division and you get knocked out in six games, I mean, I saw everybody lose their mind when Peter Laviolette did that in 2019. So I think it's fair to say, hey, everybody loves Hines. That's fine. Whatever. Show me what you got in the playoffs.
And is it fair to say that to compare John Hines against Rod Brindamore, who was coach of the year last year?
Yes.
That he did not, he got outcoached by the best coach in the year last year.
Yes. Why would it not be fair? Mike Vrabel, if the Titans are going to get to the Super Bowl, Mike Vrabel might have to beat Bill Belichick and Andy Reid. Like, this is, I know everybody looks at a great coach and is like, well, but I mean, I can expect it's a really good coach. Because that's what it takes to win the championship. Because that's what it takes. You want to show me a little something in the playoffs? Get a better seed? You know, I mean, look, now they will luck out in the standpoint that this year, you know, you're maybe Colorado is like an elite team. But other than that, this division does not have any elite teams. Minnesota, now I know they've had COVID issues, but they won their first game since December 9th yesterday. So, like, there's no real elite team in the Central Division. So if you get in there, you're going to be matched up against Dean Evason. You're going to be matched up against St. Louis. And that's different than what they were looking at last year of you're going to be matched up against Carolina or Tampa Bay. So I'm just saying, Hines is doing a good job. Team's doing a good job. The one guy who, like, I, you know, have cemented my feelings for this season, it's Saros. Like, that's the one guy that I'm like, okay, this is who you are. You are one of the best goalies in the league, and you can win with this guy. Okay, move it on. Everybody else, it's like, I still need to see a little bit more. Still need to see more in the playoffs. That's what this is about. I understand you're paid for the regular season, but me, my focus, our focus as a city is the playoffs. Let's get your reaction on that. Your thoughts on the Preds. If you got a Preds thought, get it in. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. And I will add this level to it. How much of what they're doing now? Again, first place, 1 point behind Vegas, who they beat the other night for best team in the Western Conference. UC Saros is the best goalie in the league right now. Forsberg's on fire. The power play looks good. Duchesne and Johansson are playing well. How much of this doesn't matter to you until, like, doesn't matter if it doesn't translate into success in the playoffs? 615-737-1025, and the Hines thing's on there as well. We'll get to your phones on it next. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025. Well, we are just freaking loaded with our show today. I mean, normally Fridays, because everyone's talked about the game so much, it's normally like it's less. I'd say today I was looking at, like, I got to cut all this stuff out. We got so much to get to. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. ESPN, The Game Nashville, is your home for the College Football National Championship, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown and Central Barbecue. On Monday, tune in to 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 for the National Championship as Alabama takes on Georgia. And 312 Pizza Company will be live. Stillman and Company will be live from 312 Pizza Company in Germantown, family-owned and operated, bringing you a slice of Chicago to Nashville. They specialize in deep dish pizza, thin crust, and all things Chicago style. Plus, it's the perfect spot to catch the championship game on Monday. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here's the puck thrown toward the net and across by Matt Duchene. Duchene got a shot underway, breaking in through the right circle, and the Predators have their second power play goal of the game and lead it 2-0. This goal comes at 19:01.
There you go. Predators win 4-2 last night against the Kings. They play Arizona tomorrow right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's go to your phones on the Preds, as promised on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Caroline, what do we have in the text line?
One texter texts in and says, as a Predators fan who had mediocre expectations for a competitive rebuild season, we are exceeding that. Is this really the year to totally judge John Hines in the playoffs?
I'm not saying that they need to totally judge John Hines right now. I'm just saying if you got Crispy and John Tortorella and all these people going on TV and radio for you and, you know, basically saying, hey, you guys need to appreciate the job that John Hines is doing. John Hines is great. John Hines is this. John Hines is that. Well, that's great, but I need a little something in the playoffs. I need a little something this year in the playoffs. Now, the idea that it was supposed to be a competitive rebuild and that they're better than competitive rebuild, that's great. I still think a lot of that is because of the goalie, and I'm still not totally sold that this style of hockey can win in the playoffs. I mean, and look, regular season doesn't matter around here. We all learned that when Peter Laviolette won the division in 2019, got beaten 6 games, and you all wanted to fire him then. Took half a year to fire him, then he's out of there. 3 banners in 3 consecutive years. But only one of them was a quote-unquote good postseason. So, to me, like the playoffs, the Predators can win as many regular season games as they want. And I'm not knocking it. This has certainly exceeded the expectations, and I think they're doing a good job. And I think, you know, that they'll start packing the building come, February, late January, February, when they start putting games back in to the middle of February. And then really down the stretch, I think they'll have a lot of fans. But this is Nashville. Like, you got to do it in the playoffs. What's next?
Another texter texts in and says, what does Philip Forsberg have to do to make you consider him a big boy forward?
I mean, you know what the answer to that is.
What?
Playoffs! I mean, this is the thing here with Forsberg and all these other guys. I'm not convinced Forsberg's a big boy forward. I'm not convinced Forsberg's ever going to be a big boy forward. He's never been a big boy forward. He's playing really, really well, really, really well right now. He did the same thing in like February of 2017, where I want to say he went through a period where he single-handedly carried this team offensively. Like, he scored a goal every single night, and they won for 3 or 4 weeks straight. And I remember watching that and thinking to myself, like, dude, this reminds me of when Chipper Jones would get hot and could just single-handedly carry the Braves lineup. But I think one of the bigger issues with the Predators is this, and this may be an issue I have with Hines too. The Predators right now are beating people because they play harder than them and they have better goaltending. Ian, would you say that that's fair?
I don't know about just those two reasons, but I'd say those are two big reasons.
When you get to the playoffs, everybody plays hard. Everybody plays hard in the NHL playoffs. So when we look at the Predators and we don't see big boy forwards, and you say, well, you know, you can get by with this, and you can, I think back to that 2017 run where Pekka was as good as you could be. Had that ref not blown that whistle in Game 6, now I think they would have lost Game 7 in Pittsburgh because the Predators were so totally outmatched every game almost in Pittsburgh. But anything can happen in a Game 7. Had the Predators won that series, Pekka Rinne would have won the Conn Smythe. They would have done it with no real depth. You know, it was just throwing in guys like Pontus Aberg and Freddie Gaudreau and Austin Watson and Colin Wilson had a big goal and all that kind of stuff. And so you probably technically can do it, just like you can win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. But you're probably not going to win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. And that's kind of how I look at the Predators is, this is great, but when you start playing the elites and the elites are playing hard, you know, we've seen that. We've seen that written out for us one too many times. And I'm not saying that they're not going to win in the playoffs. I'm just saying I'm skeptical. And I think with all the winning that they're doing right now in January, people want you to be totally optimistic, totally in on it, totally. And I'm just telling you, like, I'm skeptical come the playoffs. Could be wrong, but I'm skeptical. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Another thing I'm skeptical about, Julio Jones. And there is a weird, weird sentiment surrounding the Titans media. I don't know if it's the Titans fans or if it's just the Titans media. But the local scribes have this weird feeling about Julio Jones. Plus, something odd that Julio said, that's next. Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.